Okay. I want to thank all of you for being here this morning. My name is Tommy Riston. I also want to thank Calvary Assembly of God here in MacArthur, Ohio, for hosting Nancy Haney and Point to Hope Ministries Holy Spirit Encounter Conference. This workshop is War Cry Renewing of the Mind. A lot of times we have to have our, well, it's almost a daily thing. We have to have our minds renewed. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Conform means to be formed or to mold. Instead of being molded by the values of this world, we the believers in Jesus Christ should be transformed, that is, changed by the renewing of our mind. In the book of John 1 and verse 3, it says, "In the beginning was the Word." The word right there in the Bible is capitalized. That means a name. And so I'm going to go ahead and say it like this. In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. All things were made through Jesus, and without Jesus, nothing was made that was made. Father, I pray that your Spirit is in the hearts of every person here, Father, that you talk individually how that you want to speak to everyone here, Father. I ask for ministering angels in this room, in every corner, Father, and beside me. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen. In the book of Genesis, which is the first book of the Bible, it says in Genesis 1:26, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness.'" Genesis 2:7, "And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." Now here is some of my favorite verses right here. I've heard this through the workshops. Jeremiah 1:5 says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." We've got people today saying that it's matter in the mama's belly. It's a baby. We are babies. In Psalms 139:13-16, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mama's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days for me were written in your book before one of them even came to be." God knows us so well, you all, that in the book of Matthew 10, verse 30, it says, "The very hairs on your head are numbered." Not very much counting on mine. I give him a break. Without y'all going to sleep, I want you to think. Put yourself in the Garden of Eden. Everybody shut their eyes, if you will. You see the Garden of Eden, how you picture it. The earth has been created, the water is there. You can hear the water flowing. You can hear the eagle above of you making its call. The elephant's trunk is blowing its trumpet. You can hear the roar of the lions. You can see the leopards and the big cats walking around. All the birds are singing. The monkeys in the trees. The grass is green. Perfect weather. not too hot, not too cold. God said, let us make man in our own image, according to our likeness. Now, go ahead and keep your eyes shut. I don't think any of you are going to fall asleep on me. Here's the way I imagine it. And I imagine God getting on the ground. And it says, out of the dust of the ground, God formed man. Well, see, before the flood, it never rained. Rain was not a thing. The water came from the underneath the ground. So out of the dust became clay. And I imagine God on his hands and knees, and he gets Adam's body just perfectly. His legs are muscular. His arms has got big, big arms and just the perfect length, the perfect weight. And he takes his finger and sculptures the eyes and the nose. And then before he gets ready to breathe the life, the breath of life into mankind, us as a human race, God says, Jesus says, yes, Father. He said, you know, I'm going to have to send you to earth one of these days to redeem mankind, to buy back from Satan. Man's going to fall, Jesus. They're going to become murderers. They're going to rape. They're going to steal, destroy. And without one millisecond going by, the person of the Trinity, God the Father, Jesus the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, Jesus says, I'll go, Father. And the Holy Spirit says, Jesus says, yeah. He said, I'll be there to strengthen you when you need strengthened. I'll be there to, matter of fact, Jesus, I'm gonna descend from heaven on you the day that John baptizes you, and I will come down in the form of a dove. Jesus saw, God knows the ending from the beginning. Jesus knowing in his mind the beating that he would take, the way I understand it, it might be different, I don't know. They laid a person across a block or something to tighten up their back. They had what they call a cat of nine tails that had strings of leather long. They had pieces of glass, nails, any kind of metal they could get on the cat of nine tails. It was a whip. And whenever they whipped the Lord, it went around his back and come back underneath his belly. And whenever they pulled, it would catch right here and it ripped all the way around. He knew that. He saw that aforehand. And in his mind, he saw him getting spit upon. He saw him being so weak that he had to have help with someone carrying him his cross to the hill of Golgotha. He saw that before God the Father breathed the life into mankind. He saw him hitting him with their fist and spitting in his face and mocking him and say, prophesy. You think you know who hit you? Prophesy. Nothing come out of his mouth. And when Jesus got to the cross, They nailed the nails in his wrist. In that wrist. And then they took his feet. And the way I understand it, they had a... He's probably went sideways like it right there. And their legs was bent. That way he couldn't breathe. Jesus saw all that, but I want you to think of one thing. When he was on that cross, about ready to pass away and die, from all the pain and all the suffering, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Well, God couldn't look upon all the sin. He had to leave the presence of Jesus. He couldn't look upon that sin because all of Tommy Wriston's sins was put upon Jesus. The time that Tommy Wriston was going to commit fornication, the time that Tommy was going to say, I'll see you in hell whenever I was out drinking and mocking the very life and the very breath in my own lungs. He saw all the times that I was going to say GD and JC as an ordinary conversation daily as a young boy. See, I thought that's the way you needed to talk to be cool, to be accepted. So, he saw all that. And in my eyes, in my mind, God breathed the life into mankind. And there was a living being, Adam. And God said, Adam, I don't know the number. Thousands and thousands of things you can do. Thousands and thousands of things that is yours you can have. But this one thing you may not do. And that is eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It is because of that we today need a Savior. That is why Jesus Christ came. That is why I can be up here now getting ready to testify and tell you what God has done in my life. Getting ready to tell you that Jesus died for us no matter what we've done, no matter what's happened to us in our childhood. It doesn't matter. He's there. At 6 months old, my mom took my siblings and I to a babysitter and never come back. My dad was got drafted for Vietnam, and he was in basic training, and my grandma worked at a laundry in a hospital. And the lady there asked her, said, is such and such children your children, grandchildren? She said, yeah, why? He said, well, my daughter's had them for 10 days now, and their mama has never come back to get them. And she said, okay, we'll be there to get them. So my sister went with an aunt. I went with my aunt and uncle, and another brother and sister went with grandma and grandpa. See, my aunt and uncle that adopted me was Patty and Jimmy. they had a baby that had passed away at birth. He was stillborn. His name is Daniel, meaning God is judge. And in my mindset, I just think, you know what? That's one young man out of this family that I will make sure I get to heaven. This is one man that I've got to take home with me now in order for Tommy to get his steps in life. Growing up, I had a lot of childhood sicknesses. As a little boy, I was playing with a bird's nest, and I ended up catching a Pseudomonas germ. Have any of you ever heard of Pseudomonas germ? It is a severe germ. It almost never quits. I got it in my right ear. It ended up eating out my eardrum, and I always tell everybody a little bit other things. But as a little feller, I had all these ear problems, and I couldn't hear. And when I was going to school, I didn't learn a lot. So I had such a hard time in school. I ended up with LD classes, and not only in grade school, but all the way through school. My learning was just hard to do. Ended up with speech therapy as a little guy. Going through all these surgery with tubes and stuff, I ended up having a free bleeder. You heard of a free bleeder? I was factor 11 deficiency, almost a hemophiliac. My blood on my nose would just squirt everywhere. I mean, just out of nowhere it would. So at the age of 10, 11, my aunt got sick, and at 12 she died. She was so loving. I mean, I was spoiled, y'all. I mean, I was a spoiled brat. If I whined, I got it. Okay? Because, like Nancy says, when you're adopted, you got more going for you. Because you know you's wanted. Yeah, you know you's wanted. But I didn't always know that. You know, I remember as a child, my real mom coming to get me. And I always knew I was adopted. But I remember my real mom coming and getting me twice in my childhood. My real dad would come and get me. And she passed away whenever I was 12. So here this little spoiled brat had to move in with my real dad. I had a nervous breakdown at the age of 12 years old, and I ended up with the shingles. I was the 4 months from being the youngest person, child, from being in the World Guinness Book of Record, whatever it's called. Just 4 months, I'd have been the youngest ever. So moving in with my dad, it was rough. That my siblings really, I mean, here this little whimpering, whiny kid came in, used to just getting everything, and they lived on a farm, and boys, did I ever learn a bunch real quick. But when Aunt Patty passed, she made the boys promise to take care of me. Well, they did, because, see, I would call them before school was even out, and they would come and get me every summer. But see, at the age of 12, God started putting conviction upon my heart. And I had that calling even before then. I remember going to Sunday school. I remember one time in church, we had, you know how you throw pies at people behind the board? Well, the family I was raised up with cussed a lot. One of their favorite words was GD. And as a little guy, this big, I remember I missed it. Boy, it made me mad, and I said that word, and oh my goodness, did I ever get paddled? But it was. And then the boys from that family. I want to go back to that. See, I was a spoiled one. Whenever them boys got whooped, I guess they got beat. they didn't get whooped like they should, you know, like with common sense. I guess it was pretty bad. At the age of 12, I went back to Ohio. Soon as the next day, school was out, I went back to Ohio. And like I say, all my family here in Ohio drank. And at the age of 12 years old, I had conviction, great conviction upon my heart. And I received Jesus because I didn't want to go to hell and burn. And I knew God was really working on me. But you know, at the age of 12, I also started drinking beer. And that night that I actually started was the two brothers that I was with, brothers by adoption, was so drunk they couldn't drive, and they asked a 12-year-old boy to drive them. This led me into, when I come back, I would be partying on the weekends of football games, etc. And it also, I started working out whenever I was 12 years old. And I actually got decently big for a little short fella. I had 16.5-inch arms. And I was healthy. I mean, it's, you work for it, you know, it was, I loved it. I loved working out. So, being that I was muscular or whatever, and the age of drinking was 18 then, I would buy alcohol before school in the mornings and at noon sometimes. So, boy, that was just bad. That was bad. Home life with my dad, you're always wrong. You're never telling the truth. You can't do it right. I always felt like my dad was ashamed of me. I dealt with a lot of depression. Matter of fact, the very night that my dad got married, I was drinking. I don't even know how old I was. I was probably 16. But that scar right here on my arm, I took a cigarette, and I was just so down and depressed that I just sit and held it and held it and held it. And you could count 7 layers of skin. Well, I told somebody, they said, "My goodness, how many layers did you go through?" I said, "I've counted 7. They said, "You ain't got 7 layers of skin." That was clearing it beyond the muscle. So I understand kids when I understand a little bit when they want to hurt themselves, because I've been there with that deep depression and stuff. See, my partying friends accepted me to where I always thought my dad, well, it's true. I was never accepted by my dad. I'm actually still not today, but that's okay. See, here's what I think. I'm opening up my family's history to you. I open it up because I want you to be healed of what I've been healed through. My mom's mom took her and her brother somewhere, dropped them off, never come back. I always knew about it, but here's one thing I didn't know until I was older. I've got a sister from my mom and her brother. She's very slow. And that man never did get to know Jesus. And he never got to know the forgiveness that Jesus gives. He became an alcoholic instead of accepting the free gift of eternal life. And he has literally, I don't even know if the man's still living, but he became a drunk. Well, I want to tell you that later on, my mom got to witness to a lot of young mamas that had a lot of children, maybe out of wedlock or whatever. She says, look, I've been there. This is where I come from. Did this happen to you? You know, God can bring you through. My mama was a godly woman when she died. She was godly. She was... So, I want to go back a little bit. I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I can't do this unless it's supposed to be. Okay, I can't. When you have friends that drink and party and they're not in the church, you're going to be there with them. You're going to follow that crowd because, like I said a while ago, they accept you. At 18 years old, I had a baby on the way. Well, okay. So I went to her dad and I said, I got your daughter pregnant. He didn't raise his voice. But he did look at his daughter and say, how? Why? Because, see, she was raped by her stepdad. And when she ran away, she actually said something about getting off the school bus and something about a horse whip. I'm not going any further. She came to West Virginia. She ran from her situation. And she lived with her dad that lived in a chicken coop. She said she literally swept the floors of the chicken coop. And she said, I might have lived in a chicken coop, but I kept it clean. I thought that was pretty, that's admirable. When I got married, my dad never came to my wedding, but my uncle did that raised me. I'm going to move on to the age of 19 years old. November 4th flood of 1985 that hit Elizabeth, West Virginia. My daughter was born the 1st. And we went home on the 3rd, and I was told not to stay because the water would get up and get us. Well, bullheaded as I was, I stayed, and the water come up. So with a newborn baby, 4 days old, the water was really, really up. I went out, moved a car, and the fire department tried to come up and get us. They knew we had a newborn baby, and the water was just so swift they couldn't do it. Long story short, being in that floodwater, when we took my daughter to the doctor to get her, I'm thinking it was a week checkup. They said, Tommy, anybody that's been in the floodwater needs to get a tetanus shot. I said, okay, let's do it. Well, at the time, I was working off bear on a sawmill. Does anybody know what off bear does? You stack all the wood, you carry the 12 by 12 ties, you stack them, you throw the slabs, and you are a working machine, okay? I was one tired boy. And when I had that tetanus shot, it ended up making me sick, paralyzed. It started out the back of my calves, which used to moo when I walked because I had humongous calves. And this disease hit me really quick. I mean, it was like within 24 hours after symptoms started. We went out to show the baby off. We stayed all night at some friend's house. And when I woke up, I used the restroom, and I could not wipe myself. I went in and I asked my wife, I said, can you come and wipe me? I can't do anything. and I staggered in the hallway, and my body was shaking like it is now. And my hands just kept just getting tighter and tighter and tighter, and my body just kept doing this right here. And so within a half hour to 40 to an hour from there, went outside to start the car. A dog jumped up on me, knocked me into gravel, and I had to crawl over to a barbed wire fence. I got over to it, got myself up. And then I walked into a grocery store to get something for the baby. Down I went, and I never walked for months, probably a little over a year. And being in that wheelchair, you know, I thought God was mad at me. And I shook my fist at, well, I didn't shake my fist because I couldn't move nothing. I couldn't be, I had to be fed. I had to have a bedpan put underneath of me. I had to be carried to the toilet. And I begged them. I hurt so bad. The pain was just unbearable. I lived on pain pills, but they really didn't help. But I asked them to get a donut that a little kid floats with, and they put it on a toilet ring. And then I'd have them take air out of it because it was just, it was unbearable. And I'm telling you, them that over however many, a year and a half, guys, I can't remember, it's been 30 years ago this coming month. It's been 30 years ago. And just to share one story with you, you know, we come home from, I think it's right when Space Challenger that exploded. Okay, that very same night we went home, and it had snowed 4 inches, and my wife could not get me up the hill in the wheelchair, and it was probably 20 degrees outside, and she couldn't get me. The baby was crying. We had no heat in the house whatsoever. It was firewood only, And I was just joking. I said, I'm going to freeze to death. And I mean, she lit into me. She whooped me. Oh, my goodness. My head had so many knots on it. But I understand why now, you know. I understand why. But before I forget it, she took very good care of me besides that time right there. Seriously, she did. I was a mess, you guys. I was a mess. I was down to dumps almost all the time, hardly ever in a good mood. I'm sharing little details with you to know where I've been and to the anguish that I've went through, the rejection. You know, I told you a while ago, my dad didn't come to my wedding. That meant a lot to me. I wish my daddy would have been there for me, but see, he wasn't. Okay, so I decided to have a little bit to do with God. I had different people come into the house. And one thing that I wanted to know about was the book of Revelations of all things. The book of Revelation. But that got me back on track a little bit. When you're on your back, you're paralyzed. You can do nothing but move your neck. I never lost my neck muscles. And you've got time to think. You hurt. You itch. You cannot scratch nothing. And you, hey, can you come over here and move this? Can you move that? I mean, guys, it was all the time. The pain was awful. It was terrible awful. And they put a waterbed in our home for us, and that actually did help me to turn in bed. That would give me a little bit of therapy. I started to, when I started coming around, I crawled on my knees for over 5 or 6 months. I got around like this for months. Months. My knees right now have scars all over them. See right there? You do what you got to do to survive. And that was my therapy. That's what I did daily. And God brought me through it, and I'm thankful for it. I'm going to move ahead to when I started walking and drinking again. See, I had friends come around. They'd take me fishing. We'd take 12-pack of beer or case, whatever. Well, there was a preacher, Mark Lowe from Elizabeth, West Virginia. Brother Mark was on a 3-day fast. He was fasting for Tommy Riston. Yep. He said, whenever I would walk up and down that road, he said, I could see you struggling every step you took, young man. He said, God put it on my heart to fast for you. And he come to the house 3 times that day. Not only was he on a 3-day fast, but he come to the house 3 times. And on the 3rd time, I was home. I was a little tipsy. But we went outside in this wee little corn crib. Y'all remember the corn cribs? They probably, what, about that wide right here? And not very much longer than this. Had a hair dryer down from the ceiling, and we stood underneath there, and I had 1,000 questions, you guys. Even though I was buzzing, but I had 1,000 questions. And that man was so knowledgeable that he just went like that. He had so much answers for me. It made me hungry. So I told him, I said, I think I'm going to come to church in the morning. I went to church the next morning. He did an altar call. Oh, I was shy. I didn't want to get in the altar. But afterwards, I said, Mark, I said, I want Jesus. You do? He said, yeah, I want Jesus. So we said the prayer, the sinner's prayer, and I absolutely, you guys, I got on fire. I mean, I literally got on fire. 2 weeks later, my wife came to church, and by January, maybe, I don't know, which is 3 or 4 weeks, we were so on fire that we got in the river, and January the 31st, I think it was, got baptized together. That's serious. I mean, we're talking ice around the corners, okay? Told my dad about it. See, he put me down for making a baby in his house. He put me down for drinking, but he couldn't come to my baptism. He wanted nothing to do with it. There come a job. It was caretaker. I lived there before. We was caretakers of this place, 18 acres. It came up, and I was the youngest to ever have that job. After we got saved, God moved in a mighty way. I become a caretaker at that place. Like I say, I lived there with my father. And my wife and I was the caretakers there. And during the fair of that place, she saw her old boyfriend. Satan stepped in, and she told me that night, I don't love you anymore. After all of the caring she done for me, cleaning me, wiping me, caring for me, doing a phenomenal job doing it, I don't love you anymore. Okay. The next morning, she did. She left. She packed enough stuff for her and the kids, and she left. By then, y'all, I had 2 children. I immediately went back to drinking. But I went back to church once in a while, too, because I knew the Holy Spirit had something for me. During that time, I was so devastated, I was so mad. I went out and I committed adultery. And I now have a child out of wedlock. And I have no idea I got an idea where she might be. But there's no relationship. What's her life going to be in the future? Last I heard, that was her lifestyle. I don't want that for her. I don't want that because my other 2 daughters are on fire for God. They know Jesus. One's a singer. One is a Sunday school teacher. I want that for my baby out of wedlock. God don't make no junk. It might have been my mistake, but it wasn't God's mistake. Okay. Through all the bad and everything else, the divorce came. She was remarried less than 24 hours after our divorce papers were signed and everything else. I found out about it. She was with him for a while. And she come back to me, said, "He's being mean to the kids." Well, guess what? I took her back in a heartbeat because I was still in love with that woman. I had children with this woman. Here's the kicker. Stayed one night and left the next morning. Rejection again. Slap in the face again. I wanted out of that place. I moved into a trailer that had no electricity. It had no running water. It had an outhouse. I slept under 9 blankets. And in the meantime, I was trying to go to college. I eventually ended up getting electricity in that place, and then I ended up moving out of there. People from my childhood took me in. I become a drunk for a little while. I stayed in my car for a little while. I was homeless for a short time. And then I decided to commit adultery again. This time it about got my life. The things that we do, huh? This time a death threat was on me. Well, it wasn't enough that I did my own bad things, but now I've got a death threat, and I've got somebody that's wanting to kill me. So I ran. I mean, I ran. I left the place I was staying. And I had a word of prophecy over me. Her name is Betty Lowe. She's in heaven now. She says, "Tommy, you have been in and out of church. You've been up, you've been down. And God tells me that if you settle down, God's going to send you a wife. If you settle down, God's going to send you a wife." All right, guys. This is what I was. This is the lifestyle in my mind that I had to live. I had a Playboy Bunny truck, naked women on the mud flaps, a 2-foot Playboy Bunny on the hood, a foot Playboy Bunny on the side things. And it wasn't that I thought I was something, because I didn't. I was never really that stuck on myself. It's just, I wanted to be somebody. I wanted to be somebody. Me trying to find jobs ever since I was sick has absolutely been... I'm sorry about the heat. I don't know how to take care of it, guys. Me trying to get a job, you guys, with being paralyzed still yet today... I'm paralyzed in both of my feet. I walked right after Rachel and I got married. She says, "Tommy, you have got to get braces on your feet." And you can see I started having calves back. Okay, they started coming back. But whenever I started wearing these and I wore them 7 years, my legs went right back to where they are right now. And for those that you can see, they're just little sticks. But that's okay. That's all right. But see this hole right here, y'all? If you look, that thing cocks this way. Can you see that? Can you see where it cocks right there? I, for 7 years, walked on the outside of this foot right here. I ended up developing a sore right there, you guys, that I absolutely, it was miserable to walk with these braces. You walk on hard plastic, and you try to work. It's rough. It hurts. You are in a bad mood all the time. Anyway, I just brought one of them to show y'all. God did keep his promise. He kept his promise through a 17-year-old girl. 17, almost getting ready to turn 18. How in the world could I end up with a 17-year-old I'm as madly in love with. But God knew. He knew how mature that 17-year-old was. He knew that she had been homeschooled. He knew that she was churched. And he knew that she would be the one praying over me day and night. I mean, day and night. Because I still dealt with depression from my past. You think you want to go out and do the things that you want to do. But I'm telling you. But those of you listening to this later on, sin will take you further than you want to go. It'll make you stay further or more than you want to stay, and it'll cost you more than you ever want to spend. At the age of 17, we met in May. I got it written down. I don't want to mess it up. We met in, where is it? May, right, Rachel? Okay, there it is. First date was in May. In June, we were engaged because I told her she was going to marry me. You guys, I didn't even ask her to marry me. Can you believe that? Isn't that awful? I picked out a ring, which was an El Cheapo ring because I never made no money. My finances was like nothing. But what I did buy, I meant it from the bottom of my heart. And we went outside of the door, and she said, you didn't even ask me to marry you. I said, no, I never. I said, will you marry me? That's right. I know that one. Now, right after Rachel and I got married, I had worked at a place where I was doing roofing, believe it or not, with my legs like they are and everything, but they was really careful with me. They tried to keep me away from the edges. They always tried to give me jobs I could do. But this stuff that they sprayed was foam. And that foam caused in me a tumor and some cyst. We wasn't married. How long was we married? Do you remember? It was within the first 6 months, wasn't it? Something like that. Well, anyway, they told Rachel, once again, you know, it just, here's this sickness coming on your life. They said, Tommy will be in, it just come up over a week or so. It'll just come up. It came up so fast. And they said, he'll be in surgery about 45 minutes, and then he'll be out. 7 hours later. 7 hours later. See, what it did, it attached itself really close to my voice box. And if it would have, I couldn't be telling you all about Jesus right now. I couldn't be giving my testimony where I've been. Remember that one night stand that I did and I made a baby out of wedlock? Well, the mom of that baby said, I don't want no child support. I'm just glad I had a baby. She tried for years to get pregnant. She was just happy. But she needed some support from the welfare department. She went and got help. Who's the dad? Can't tell you. Don't know. They said, who is the dad? She had to tell them. Hey, you make a child, you pay for that child. Amen? That's right. So now, not only did I have child support to pay for my two daughters, here's another thing. Because of that one night stand, I'd had it with life. I've had it with a lot of things. And I decided to get fixed where I couldn't have new children. Now remember, she's now 18. See, selfish, selfishness, absolutely selfishness on my part. Thank you. In 2008, I lost my job because a little bit of it was because I stood up for myself. I've always been able to run my mouth a little bit. But this time it cost me my job. A job that I could do, a job where I was sitting down, a job of delivering. insurance. I was so devastated. I had a nervous breakdown. I lost 30 pounds. I was down. I mean, I was a mess. And I thought about suicide. And Satan put it in my mind how to do it. Tie a brick to yourself, walk over to the garage, and just fall into the pond. Because our pond is literally that close from the garage door. That would be the pond right there. So nobody will see you for days. Just do it. I'm telling you guys, it was bad. It was in February. You know how cold it is in February. I would be laying in bed and sweat would be rolling whatever side I was on, and my body shook. 30 pounds is a lot to lose whenever you're that nervous. And then also during all this time, the Social Security Administration said, "Tommy, we want you to go to work." I wanted to go to work. I actually became a decent worker before I was paralyzed. And I got me a job, and I overworked my substantial gainful activity period. Guess what happened? I called them $100. They sent me in the mail, sent me a thing that said you're allowed to make this much money. And I called them and said, "Hey, I made $100 over that." And they said, "You're not even supposed to be working." Long story short, we fought it 7 years. I am now paying back thousands of dollars. Driving by people every day out our way that's getting free everything in life. They got a brand new boat, new truck, nice trailer, quad, which is a four-wheeler. It's all right. I wanted to work, but it's aggravating. You know, it's aggravating. I have had to spend all kinds of money just to do the job that I do. My braces, I had no insurance, over 1,000. I've had to do that twice. I've had to come up with, when I lost my job, I had to come up with right at $1,000 to have a physiatrist to tell me whether I was able to work or not. I tell you what, people, I was so mad, I looked him in the eye and I said, "You either accept me 100%, mister, or you deny me 100%. I said, because my life is on the line right here. I said, either I'm going to have to go back to Social Security or you're going to put me to work. I said, you do what you need to do 100%. Don't wishy-washy it. I was upset. It messed with my life again. I mean, it's just been a total battle. But I am so glad to tell you, I think an hour is long enough. I'm so glad to tell you that our anniversary is September the 25th. We've been married 22 long and glorious years. Rachel says some of them longer than glorious. You know, you got a word? Would you like to say something? No? I guarantee you this woman has, I can feel her hand many nights on my head. Even today, the things are better. I can feel her hand on my head and on my back many nights, pleading the blood of Jesus over me to guide me and direct me in the way I should go. And she has done it ever since that young 17-year-old girl. Who would have thought? I knew in my heart, even though all the pain that I've been through, that was the woman I was to marry, even though she was 17. But I will say, she was just a couple months from being 18. So that makes me feel better. And I can also tell you that I've got a powerhouse of a 4-year-old granddaughter. She's 5 now, but when she was 4, she done knew. You know who she is. You painted a picture for her. Bless your heart. Thank you. She's already seeing visions. She's done talked to Jesus. And she is angry sometimes. You're not angry. She gets, I just want to go to heaven. I want to go see Jesus. And at the age of 4, she went in and asked her mama, "Mama, what is this about Jesus? How do I get born again? How do I get saved?" And my daughter got to lead her to Jesus. 4 years old. She's now 5. That's awesome. That is totally awesome. Okay, guys. Any questions? Yes.
I didn't hear all of it, but I want to know where you are right now.
Right now, I am secure with who I am. I know I've been redeemed. I know now that Jesus paid that price for me. He paid that penalty for me on the cross. And I don't look so much now on my past, because my past was awful. There was a lot more stuff I didn't even bring up. I hunger for God. I listen to Christian not music. I'm not much of a music person anymore. As a teenager, I listened to rock and roll all the time. You know, went to sleep with it. But now I crave preaching daily. I mean, I absolutely crave it. And it's a good walk with Jesus. Thank you for asking that. I actually, my wife and I now, and it's kind of, and thank you for answering that, this four-wheeler is a representation of our ministry. We got a four-wheeler ministry. We take families out riding, and it's called Quads for Jesus. We've been doing that since 07. And somebody like me that was going through a rough time, you just take somebody out and spend some time with them. And, you know, a lot of times we don't have church in the woods, but a lot of times we do. So... And I really crave for people to live for Jesus. And I can tell you, and not bragging on me, but I can tell you that I have been told some lives that's been changed just because of my walk and talk at work. And that means so much. So, yeah. We take families out riding, but what started it, Rachel and I was always fixing lunch for everybody, and taking people on rides. Well, the Lord put it up on this detective's heart to give me a four-wheeler, which was almost brand new, and it's right around probably $3,700 worth then, because, I mean, it was almost new. And it took him 3 months to give that thing to me. Long story short, we was in Heaven's Gates and Hell's Flames production, which is a more or less a Halloween thing. Rachel was the angel that sent people to heaven or hell. Believe that or not, she was. And I had one part. I stood there with my sword. And I'm telling you what, during that production, just to give them a big hallelujah, just during the practice, we bawled our eyes out. Because, I mean, that is a good production. It really is. Anyway, he come to my house. I left my Bible at the church. I misplaced it. Long story short, he called. Rachel answers the phone. "Where is your all's place? Tell Tommy we got something for him." I'd have thought he was bringing my Bible. He pulled him his 300 EX four-wheeler on the back. I mean, cleaned that thing up to the T, you guys. He just didn't give it to me. He cleaned it. He made it beautiful. And he come in, he said, I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Well, we thought we'd go riding." It was bow season, which was this time of the year. And I said, "Okay, well, just a minute. Let me go get my braces on." So I went in and I grabbed these. And I was getting ready to put my braces on. And he said, "Here you go." He threw that bill of sale down, or the title to it. He said, "Before I get struck by lightning," he said, "you take this thing," because I was supposed to do it 3 months ago and I wouldn't do it. I talked to him later. I said, Did God bless you for that?" He said, "Oh, Tommy," he said, "you have no idea." He said, "You have no idea." And I tell that story to a lot of people. I run into cops just the other day at the pizza place. I said, y'all know Greg Nangle? "Yeah, we know Greg. Hey, let me tell you what Greg done for my wife and I." He helped us start a ministry without him even knowing he was going to do it because he was obedient.